Today, we're talking about how to become an everyday millionaire based on the largest study of millionaires ever commissioned. What is an everyday millionaire? Do I even need $1 million? Are wealthy people who they think they are? Stick around for today's discussion. This is Mind Over Money. Hey Archie, hey Tim.
G'day Tim, g'day Lockie.
Hi Lockie.
Tim, where are your glasses?
Oh, they'll get there. Sort of a bit closer to the screen.
That's your strategy, to sit closer to the screen?
So I can join all you glasses wearers. Look a bit smarter.
All right, well, this is a podcast, so no one can see us. Today's conversation is based on the book Everyday Millionaires by Ramsey Solutions. This was the largest study commissioned on over 10,000 millionaires living in the USA. Now, you might have read the book The Millionaire Next Door. It's a classic by Thomas Stanley, done back in the 90s. This is a recent and bigger study that has findings similar to what that book found back in the 90s, but with more updated and recent figures. But before we jump into the study findings, Archie, why do we even need $1 million? Do we need $1 million? Should Aussies be focused on becoming everyday millionaires?
Well, like we said in the recent podcast, Aussies are focused on being everyday millionaires because the amount of money they spend on gambling. And, yep. You know, and the reason they're gambling is they're chasing the big dollars. But if we look at it from everyday Aussies being millionaires, yes, we do need to be, because we need money throughout our life. And to have that money throughout our life, we do need to have money saved up and invested to produce that income. And that will take millions. And every Aussie can actually do it. We've got such good systems, financial systems in Australia, that every Aussie can do it.
What do you reckon, Tim, when you hear the word everyday millionaires, what does that entail to you?
I guess the word millionaire, maybe 20 years ago, seemed far or big or crazy. And now we live in central Brisbane and you can get a 2-bedroom shoebox for $1 million. I think my definition of what we need to survive has possibly changed. But I think when I think of this everyday millionaire, it's encouraging. We can put strategies in place. We have the tools in place to build wealth as normal everyday Aussies. And I think that's, yeah, something people need to hear a bit more of. And that's probably why we want to talk about this today, to encourage everyone that there's great pathways forward.
Yeah, I guess if you're a young person listening to this today, you've probably got about 40 years of working years, but then you've got maybe 40 to 50 years of non-working years, because, you know, we could live to 100. So we need a lot of income to be generated, and that comes through investing. So I guess what we're not saying today is we need to become millionaires overnight, because that requires taking a lot of risk, which we're going to talk about that in a moment, is not necessary. Yeah, I love this concept of everyday millionaire because it's doable in Australia. Like you said, everyday ordinary Aussies can achieve extraordinary things when they are consistent. So there's a bunch of great insights from this book, but we just wanted to pull out a few of them. The first is the three common myths around millionaires. So let's unpack that.
Sure. So I think we all have some assumptions when we think about who a millionaire is. You can see that expensive car that drives on the road and you assume, okay, they got the latest Land Cruiser and it's
Land Cruiser.
You know, that's just costs a lot. But
Land Cruisers are the new Ferraris.
They are the new Ferraris. And they can drive over the top of a Ferrari as well.
I would pay to see that.
Actually, I think the Land Rover Discoveries are actually worth more than the Land Cruisers. You know, if you want to spend 200 grand, yeah, you go for the Land Rovers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Which will break down in 2 years.
But I think it's so easy to look at the car. Okay, we can go the Lamborghini or the Ferrari. But I just assume, oh, they must have it all together. But what you don't see is maybe the massive loan they have on the back of that. And
the lease.
I think that's what we want to kind of, maybe discuss like some of the myths maybe when we see these millionaires. And so in the book, before they interviewed the millionaires, they also interviewed people on the street to see what their assumptions were around millionaires. And here are the big three assumptions and kind of myths from the study. So the first one is the wealthy didn't earn and don't deserve their money. The second one is the wealthy take big risks with their money, not biz risks, risks. And the third is the wealthy have a leg up in education and careers.
Mm. So let's look at the first one. The wealthy didn't earn and don't deserve their money. Yeah, look, I used to have this attitude when I was young. Yeah, it's interesting how we pick up these attitudes and these assumptions. When we're looking at it, 80% of millennials actually believe that wealthy people got their money from an inheritance. And baby boomers, 55% of them believe that they got their money from an inheritance. But the truth is, only 3% of millionaires, of the 10,000 millionaires surveyed, got their money from an inheritance of $1 million or more. And only 21% actually got an inheritance. So that's 79% of the millionaires actually started with nothing. So that tells you that, you know, everyone can do it. It's just a matter of where we're going to put our mind, how we're going to do it, which we'll talk about further on in the podcast. So it's not about luck. It's not about winning gold lotto. This research shows that it's everyday people doing everyday things and including investing in their life and paying off debt. Mm. They're the ones that actually are getting ahead.
Love that.
Yeah. And it really is a value statement, isn't it? When you're saying they don't deserve their money when you really don't know anything about them or their journey.
Yeah.
I guess that's a big thing, but we've all thought this potentially, or maybe when you have even a couple of details, but still not the whole picture. And the only person that mindset really hurts is yourself. If you're looking around and angry at the world.
The reason I got pulled up on this when I was young was that I was a dairy advisor and we had these big conferences down the Gold Coast at Jupiter's Casino. And you'd see the farmers walk in their old clothes and, you know, and you'd think, oh, this person doesn't have any money, you know. And then someone would tell you, hey, this guy that's, you know, that you're looking at is worth $5 million. And you just go, no way. So that blew my mind. And you talk to them and you just find that ordinary person happily living their life and enjoying themselves. And yeah, they've got a lot of wealth, but they're just ordinary people.
So the second one is the wealthy take big risks with their money. So you got to go all in to win big. What do you think about that, Archie? Is that a fair statement?
Did those dairy farmers gamble at the casino while they were staying there?
I have no idea because I was out fishing, so I didn't do the gambling part. I was mad keen on fishing back then. Taking big risks. So, yeah, look, I did see farmers take big risks and I did see them lose their farms when they took those big risks. So, you know, too much debt or too much risk definitely leads to trouble.
Mm.
So, and again, this study, you know, showed that these guys didn't take big risks.
And I guess everyday Australians can fall in that trap as well, like borrowing to the max capacity, then add in a car loan, a second car loan, and next minute you're having to keep up with all these obligations, repayments that's stopping you from getting ahead for over 30 years.
Yeah. You know, the other thing the study showed was that they didn't buy one stock and win. So, you know, none of these millionaires bought one particular company and, you know, saw that company skyrocket and that's where they made all their money. That never happened.
Mm.
And also they didn't have businesses. So they weren't business owners who made this big amount of money from, you know, selling a business. So they didn't get their wealth that way either. So it sort of blows all those myths that we have in around thinking, you know, where money comes from.
The other encouraging stat was that the average millionaire hit $1 million when they turned 49, which just means to me is that it's not get rich quick. It's over time and investment and it's slow and it compounds. But that also points to, okay, we can do this given enough time and we can slowly build over time and build our wealth, which is really encouraging.
Yeah. If we go back in time, that 49, they probably started working at age 15 to 18. So they've already done 20 years of work. So we've got to take that into context. You know, if we don't finish our studies until we're 25, you've got to add you know, good 20 years to that before you're going to start to see some results. Actually, no, 49, that'd be 30 years, wouldn't it? No, so it's 30 years before they actually saw wealth. Yeah. And the study shows that, yeah, 79% of the millionaires actually made their money through superannuation and the equivalent of superannuation here in Australia. So that's a shout out for super again.
That's a good reality check, because I think when we think of millionaires, I think people think of cash flow, everyday spending, walking into Gucci with their, I don't know, their dollar bills.
Gucci?
But the idea is this: to building wealth, I don't know wherever you buy your handbags from, but where it's actually, it's this wealth that's built over time, could be for retirement. It doesn't equal big cash flow, but it does equal security of the future. And I think that's also a mindset shift that needs to happen. And it's not like having $1 million in your bank account, but it's tied up in assets, and that's how you build it over a lifetime.
Okay, number three, the wealthy have a leg up in education and their careers. So are all millionaires doctors, lawyers, celebrities, high-flying business owners? That's a definite no. So the studies found that millionaires did attend college, which I think is the equivalent of high school in Australia. 88% graduated with a bachelor's degree, so some of them went to uni. The other interesting thing it found was that most millionaires work for companies. Only 18% of them were business owners. And the top three occupations are engineer, accountant, and teacher.
Yeah, so the Australian Bureau of Statistics actually shows that our top everyday millionaires are actually coming through the public service. So they're public servants who've been getting quite big super contributions from their employer, which is the government. Plus, they've also had extra contributions that they were forced to put in. So nearly 20% of their income was going into superannuation. And so that's, you know, that's like school teachers and senior public servants working in Canberra and that sort of thing. They're the guys that have actually come out as the everyday millionaires in Australia.
Well, that's encouraging again for super. Don't hate the system, just go with it.
Yeah. It also shows contributions are important. So, you know, how much we contribute and put away, that is important.
So I guess to summarize that point, you don't have to be super intelligent to become a millionaire. You don't have to have an executive role in your work or your career. You don't even have to have a really high income, like a doctor or a lawyer. You can have an everyday normal job, like being a teacher, police officer, and you can become an everyday millionaire. The other bit of gold we want to pull out of the book today and discuss is the key relationships. The study found that everyday millionaires have these four key relationships.
The first key relationship is the coach. So that's the person yelling at you that you're running the wrong way. Maybe it depends on your coach, man. Hopefully there's different styles of coaches. It could be the person yelling. But that's the person really that gets in the trenches with you and shows you the way. So they know the tools and they know the strategies, but they're someone to walk the journey with you and give you guidance. So I think a coach is such a valuable type of person to have in your life, especially in your financial areas.
And at Waymaker, that is the advocate for our members, is the advocate is the coach.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, the coach is there to pull the gold out of you. So, you know, if we look at football players in Australia, you know, the coach is there to pull out the best of that player and see that, you know, see all those players on the team shine in their different roles. So the next one we got is the mentor. And the mentor is just someone that's just ahead of you. You know, they're a few miles ahead of you. So they're already on the road and, you know, doing the strategies, doing what it takes. And so the mentor can give you the experience of things that you're going to come across and, you know, things you're going to have to push through. That's what the mentor's role is. So these are key people to have in your world there.
The third one is the cheerleader. I feel like this is me. The one person that believes in you and encourages you no matter what. Sometimes it's, you know, your spouse. Sometimes it's that one person in the crowd, a friend, just keeps cheering you on. You know, you only really need one cheerleader, but the more the merrier.
Yeah, definitely.
Just picturing you with pom-poms, Lockie. That's the chair.
Mate, I'm picturing the Blues at the Queensland Stadium, and it's a sea of red jumpers, you know, maroon jumpers, and everyone's cheering for the Maroons, but no one's cheering for the Blues on the football field. So it does pay to have some there.
Yes, we all need a few cheerleaders. So it's good to reflect, you know, am I a cheerleader to someone else? Or who are my cheerleaders?
Yeah.
Because we all need one.
And the last one is a friend. And I think this is all about having some fun and maybe not just focused on building wealth. If your life is all about money, you will be disappointed at some point and stressed out.
You won't have any friends.
Yeah, it's good to have some friends who can call you out and say, oh, hey, rein it in a bit. But also just to be like, let's enjoy life. So that's an important relationship to have on your journey.
Yep. You need someone that invites you over for a barbie, takes you out for a beer, or maybe goes camping or goes to the beach or something.
That's so Aussie.
Yeah. Someone that gets you out of your little world.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So to wrap up today, you know, everyone in Australia, because that's who we're talking to at the moment, could become a millionaire and become an everyday millionaire. So all we need is the right strategies that are in place, the right mindsets, and to have that community that we just discussed, you know, have those people around us that we really need to get us ahead. And just to avoid the traps, you know, avoid the get-rich-quick schemes, which there's so many of. Avoid the Bitcoin and the barbecue brags. These are all things that can really take us off track. And in this case, to become an everyday millionaire, it's slow and steady wins the race. So that's who's going to win. Mm-hmm. And just sticking with it. It's all about taking the time. As we mentioned there before, you know, these guys weren't millionaires until they, you know, 30 years down the track. So 30 years in their career before they're actually seeing their first million. And keeping on going, like give it another 10 years, that million becomes 2 million. And give it another 10 years, that 2 million becomes 4 million. So, and it just keeps on growing. And that's the great part about compounding, which is really what we're getting to here. In all of this, that's what makes us everyday millionaires.
Well, if you would like to become an everyday millionaire, head over to waymakerfinance.com.au and join our membership. Thanks, Archie.
Thanks, Lachlan. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, both of you. See you all.
This podcast is for education purposes only and is not financial advice. Have a great week.